mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 361. I'm Adam, and, doing a bit of hairdressing on the side, eh? And here's Debbie Melrose.
All hail to the Great One.
Thank you. Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
The old man must die, and the new man will discover to his inexpressible joy that he has never existed.
And Andy Nunny.
Wakey, wakey, rise and shine, show a leg, the weather's fine.
What? Well, that's not from this episode, was it?
Yes, it is. It was when the doctor came after they got the machine from the TARDIS and he woke up in the morning.
Yeah. I was thinking
Thank
Heidi
you.
Heitman. Yes, well done.
That, right. Point deducted from Adam.
Yeah. Oh, stop strangling your cat, Kirby. right then. Yes, this week we're going to be looking at Planet of Spiders. It's a shame Mary couldn't make it for this one, but there you go. I get a point to Mary for liking last week's episode. So I might as well get straight on, haven't we? Although there's been some bits and bobs coming up. We'll talk about that in news because there's been some things happening. There's been a little thing, Children in Need, we're referring to, but we'll talk about that later. I didn't really watch all of Children in Need. Just look, we can hear it because I've got the volume up.
Oh my!
How'd you turn that down?
I didn't watch Children in Need. We watched the rugby and Peaky Blinders instead.
Right, turn the volume down. Right, so the episode one, God, this is going to be awkward. I've got to move my mouse so I can actually speak into the microphone and operate the computer at the same time. This is multitasking. Episode one begins with a title sequence. And
oh, really?
Somebody strolling through a park. And then
it's Yates, for heaven's sake.
Yates! And then the Doctor and Brigadier are watching some show in the smallest theatre ever. Actually, it's so small it looks like it's probably in someone's house. Yates, meanwhile, is poking around this house, and there's a Mandala with some people going on Mani Padme Hum and a little cymbal clashing going on. And then
that was almost going to be my quote.
Mani Padme Hum.
Now here's a question. Now, the two Adam and Debbie, you might that. Sounds just like the theme to, I think it's like Trumpton or Chigley. Dum doody dum 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 doody doody dum.
Don't know them.
No.
Of course, you're so young, aren't
you? I do remember it, but I don't remember it sounding like that. Right then.
The rhythm was exactly the same.
Oh, yeah, I suppose it was a bit. Yeah. Isla Melrose! And there's Isla Melrose in the background. No, she's gone. Right. Oh, she's back again. So who you dressed up for today's show then, Isla?
He's dressed up as a brownie because she's a brownie.
Oh, so she's not dressed up as Isla Melrose then. Sorry, I got slightly sidetracked there. Basically they're chanting and the centre of the mandala starts glowing and it looks like something's about to appear. The hint was, of course, Yates walks into a spider's web with a dead spider on it and then legs it. But they hear him leg it because he makes a bit of a noise running out. And Lupton, sort of thinks, is the old friend, Yates, has obviously spotted what they're doing. The Doctor and the Brigadier, meanwhile, invite the man who had been performing at the very small theatre back to the lab.
The wonderful Cyril Shapps.
Yeah. Yay, probably not Cyril the best Shapps. Decision he ever Yay, made, doing it, agreeing to go back to the lab for this particular load of experiments.
I do like the fact that the Brigadier wants to incorporate the movements the belly dancer made into his exercises.
Yes. I like that too, but shame we didn't get to see it. Deb's left the door open and I've got my fire on. It's getting really cold in here now, so I'm just going to try and shut the door. Right, the door's shut. Magic is currently all right, so we're going to carry on. I don't know whether he's going to remain all right. He's just curled up in front of the fire at the moment. Oh, I've got the wrong mouse. Oh, yeah, so Cyril Shapps, yes, tries to claim...
I have a cat, in case you need a mouse chased down.
Be quiet. Cyril Shapps tries to claim that his mind powers are just a sort of a trick, acting and stuff like that. Will you stop being cruel? As long as I could do a screen capture and post it to the RSPCA. You can stop calling me sweetie as well, because that doesn't work. Right, so yeah, he does some telekinetic stuff by lifting a tray with CSO, but he can't keep it up. That's
you,
what she said.
You know, he doesn't, with the beard, he doesn't look like he, it took me a while to recognize him.
Well, Cyrus
compared to his other, yes, compared to his other appearances.
If you say so. And I've just noticed something I should have put in a question in the quiz. The railway station that Sarah arrives at.
Computer, cancel.
Did anybody see which railway station they arrived at?
Hang on a minute. I think I wrote it down.
Oh, yeah. Hang on.
I got to reboot.
Mortimer Station.
Oh, well done.
Yes. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it written down as well. Yeah.
I'm impressed with that. Okay, yeah, it was Mortimer Station. And they bump into, Lupton and that bump into Tommy, who likes his flowers and pretty things.
Have you been to Mortimer Station?
No.
Is it only like an hour away?
Can you be quiet? Anyway, right.
How far is Berkshire?
Berkshire? What on earth is Berkshire? Goodness sake.
He's doing it on purpose because he's trying to get points deducted at the moment. He's on the verge, so I'm now opening up my...
How do you pronounce it?
Berkshire. He did say Berkshire.
Okay.
That's right. Where's
B-E-R-K.
Priority jingles folder. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Berkshire. Magic, where are you going? As soon as I said he was all right, he's now... Look, if you go there and tread on any of those buttons, it will turn my Mac off. Now, stop being a naughty dig-dag. Right, what did I get up to? Right, then.
I suppose you'll tell me that W-I-L-T Shire is Waltshire or something.
No, it's Wiltshire.
No, that's Wiltshire.
Right, pointed up to the Kirby, because we're trying to talk about Doctor Who, not about the Americans' inability to pronounce things properly. So the point you just earned... For getting the Mortimer Station, and you've stuck in that groove, you've just got it deducted. So that's a bit of a waste of time for you, really, isn't it? Moving on, back to Doctor Who.
What did I do?
Be quiet! Like we said, Yates picks up Sarah from the station, and they head off to the house, and then they get they see a sort of a tractor that isn't really there and nearly crash. Meanwhile, the Doctor carries on with the experiments with DJ Cyril, with his great big earphones and stuff, and he's able to see Drashigs and all sorts of that just by holding onto the sonic screwdriver. And then we meet Cho-Chi,
No, he's Lynx.
Can I get the words out? Right, point deductive Kirby for trying to jump in on that one.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? You were about to say it was Lynx.
I was. That's why I just deducted your point, because you stole my thunder. So, meanwhile, as he's doing his experiments on Cyril Shapps, Benton walks in and delivers one of my favourite line of the whole story. And then the other favourite line in the story is, of course, Brigadier going, Benton, when he finishes it. He says, my quote, in fact. Oh, doing a bit of hairdressing on the side. Benton.
Benton.
Brilliant stuff. And then he gives Cyril Shapps an envelope with something inside it, and it's a blue crystal. Sarah and Yates then watch the chanters again and meet Lupton. Lupton. And... yeah, so they pretend that they've gone away because they've been encouraged to go away by Lupton. And
is this the last time we watched this? Just kept going Lupton
because that's how he speaks. Magic's having one of his funny 5 minutes. Right. So they go down to the cellar. Lupton's gone down to the cellar. Lupton's gone down to the cellar. Lupton, 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 Lupton. Oh, sorry, I got a bit caught in the groove there. Sorry. While they're all,
I like the way Tommy is obviously Harry Potter.
Pretty.
Because he lives in the cupboard on the stairs, doesn't he?
He does indeed.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying,
Fred,
they go down to the
Fred
cellar.
Was
but,
also,
pardon?
Master.
Yes.
Master.
It better be worth it, Kirby.
Fred watched this with me, and she noticed when Sarah and Yates are looking in at the meditators behind the door that says please be quiet. They were making an awful lot of noise.
Yeah, please be quiet, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so they're all faffing around doing their old little things, not really paying much attention to old Cyril Shapps, and then suddenly a storm brews up inside the lab, and because he's peering into the crystal, and he dies. That's probably one of his shorter appearances in Doctor Who. Hang on. Magic's just about to tread on the electrics, so we're just going to hoik him out of there. Because he's clambering around trying to tread on all the power switches that are underneath my desk. Right, so that was episode one. Episode two begins, obviously, with the death of Cyril Shapps. And a spider appearing on a mandala, as we didn't mention it in the previous episode, because Kirby was talking over it.
Hang on, somebody wants to come and say goodnight.
Oh, hello.
Can somebody come and say goodnight? Here we go.
But he's a bit confused saying goodnight in there.
Goodnight. Say goodnight, night, Zachy.
Goodnight, Zach. Night, Zach.
Night, Stormy.
Night, night, little boy. Okay, thank you.
No, no, sorry, my face was grumpy because I was just hoiking the dog away from my
electric. That's fine.
Now, what room have you isolated yourself in, Andy?
This is our study bedroom.
That's the room where he goes when he's been told off.
So hang on, so here we go. So see, I'll try and get.
I'm getting dizzy.
Oh my god, okay. I'm
going to
be sick.
Can I just say this doesn't work particularly well on audio presentations? So right. For Kirby. Because this probably could have been done after we'd stopped recording.
Yeah. So don't take it from me. I'm not the one who started moving the camera.
Hang on. Did you not ask him the question as to where they is recording?
Yes. But
therefore, you get a point deducted.
All he had to do was answer.
You didn't have to ask him now. Back to the story. So the spiders.
Oh, I'll give a show around later. Okay.
Yes, thank you. Spiders are appearing on the backs of people like Lupton and stuff, and
it's only Lupton to start with, isn't it? He's the only one. The other four.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Were much
good
later,
point.
Wasn't it?
I would have noticed that if somebody hadn't interrupted me. Yes.
Why does the spider not get crushed whenever he leans up against something or sits down?
Because it's a science fiction fantasy TV show, Kirby. right. So, Lupton goes a bit weird now when he's got the Queen partly in his mind.
Point deducted!
And he's now focused on trying to get the crystal. So he heads towards the lab. Tommy gets easily distracted by pretty things. We must mention this.
Pretty. That was going to be my other quote.
And then Sarah comes along to the lab to tell the doctor about all the things been going on in the house. The doctor doesn't listen to one word until she mentions something. What's she mention? What does she mention that makes a doctor's ears prick up?
The spiders. She says spiders.
That's
He's
it.
Like, spiders!
Yeah. So therefore she has to tell the whole story again. Then Lupton turns up at Unit HQ.
Point to Debbie.
And she uses a sort of like zapper to zap various people. And then the crystal gets zapped out of the doctor's lab into Lupton's hand, and he makes a run for it. And the Brigadier starts
Quite
shooting.
Quite a long run.
Yeah. The Brigadier starts shooting, and the doctor says, "Don't shoot, you might damage my car." And then there's a brilliant chase sequence. I'm not going to talk about the chase. We're just going to compact the chase.
Yeah.
They involve everything, don't they?
We're just going to compact the chase sequence into a few moments, because it was very James Bond-esque, but it was very, very, very enjoyable. And also
it was
funny. I don't know, funny. I think it was meant to be funny, but it was very good. Anyway, so eventually Lupton manages to telekinetically get himself out of the situation. Yes? Sorry, Kirby?
He didn't say anything.
Didn't he? I heard a noise. And he's stopped moving. He's sort of frozen.
He's frozen.
Yeah, so like I said... He's all sweaty when he arrives back at the house, and he starts doing having a conversation.
Master?
Oh, God. Yes?
Difficulty hearing you guys. So if this is a repeat of something, if this is a repeat of something that you've said, I apologize and will accept the point for deducted. But if Lupton has always had the capability of disappearing like that, why didn't he do it at the beginning of the chase sequence?
But he didn't, did he? Because the Queen said, concentrate, Lupton, concentrate. The Queen did it.
That's not the Queen.
She could have done that.
Or not the Queen. Whatever spider it is, Mrs. Pedantic Melrose, whatever spider it is on his back, she's the one said, concentrate, Lupton, to get him out of that situation. So he hasn't always been able to do it. But what I did like is when he was having a conference with the spiders, that the effect they used for two or three cameras to make him look like he was sort of three-dimensional head hanging, they used that in Claws of Axos. But probably you lot probably won't remember that. That same effect for the hovering head thingy. Who remembers it?
I heard he said he did.
No, don't get a point for it.
I don't remember. No, I don't remember.
He's fishing for points. Lupton has a lie down. And he sort of humours Barnes. And while he's having a conversation with Barnes, Tommy, I don't know how high they are, but he manages to nick the crystal from his table. And of course then Lupton and the Queen have a mind attacking competition, and now the dog's trying to get out through the front door and it's shut. Yeah, stupid animal. Do you remember that bit?
Where did Andy go?
I'm still here. Yeah, I'm still here.
Is someone... His video's gone.
No, it isn't.
No, he's still here. I can still see right up his nose.
Oh, thank you.
Have you got bandwidth issues, Kirby?
I've got an old computer issue.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and there, Alexa just went dling.
I was going to say, yeah, you said you should
be yes. Anyway, as we were saying, so Lupton has a sort of... mind battling competition. Listeners, magic has now knocked all my work, but I've got to deliver to customers everywhere.
Magic.
Actually, sorry, I must have to put this right because obviously it gets damaged. That means I've got to do it all over again. He will only scratch to get back in again. Oh, Deb says list him out, so now I've got to wait for the scratching noise for him to try and get back in again. Anyway, as I was trying to say about half an hour ago, Lupton and the other spider, I called her the Queen, but the other spider, have a little competition where they inflict pain on each other by mind power.
Anything you could do, I could do better.
It's interesting to know how Lupton worked out how to do this, but there you go.
One of the spiders.
Dear Kirby, he's gone all Kirby.
He's gone.
It's like the old days.
Very quiet, Kirby.
He's gone out. You're all that.
What?
Are you muffled because you got the cat on your microphone?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you want to go to video to see if we
can? Is that better?
Yes. Yes, better. Yeah. What happened there?
Is that better?
Yes.
Yes.
What happened?
The microphone got unplugged.
Right, why would that be? Did the cat have anything to do with this?
Possibly.
Unbelievable.
Point deducted from the cat.
Right. Tommy wants to show Sarah something down in the cellar. That's what she said. Sarah sort of follows him.
Wants to give her the pretty.
The crystal, but she doesn't realise this. And then she tells him, because she sees Lupton going down to the cellar, Lupton going down to the cellar, Lupton, 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 Lupton. And then so he gets told to send a message to them. So he runs upstairs. Nobody wants to listen to him. But whilst...
Gates or Brigadier that, you know, I'm down in the cellar, yeah, or something. Lupton's in the cellar, yeah.
Lupton. Anyway, so they do eventually go down, but fortunately Sarah stepped on the mandala in the middle of the transference and lands in the Metabilis 3. And then we meet a couple of, one particularly bad actress, which the mother... My goodness, what do they do? Just get her off the street? Oh, the main actor to play this part is ill today. We'll just grab anybody who just happens to be walking by to play this part. One of the worst actresses to have appeared in any dramatic production ever, even in things I've seen on the Isle of Wight, done at school. School nativities. There you go. We've had school nativities of 4 or 5 year olds that do better acting than this woman Who played the mother of the two boys and Joanna Munro. Anyway, moving on, I've had a bit of a rant. So
passing the church nativity. I'm playing a donkey this year.
Are you?
And Zach is playing Jesus again.
Splendid. Right, so, yeah, so the
Kirby,
doctor...
Stop it, Kirby.
The doctor...
What?
The doctor follows Sarah to Metabilis 3 and has a... Well, gets zapped, basically. By one of the guards. Guards! So he's very ill after this. The doctor is at death's door. Hang on, I'm on the wrong episode now. Good grief. There, well, I've got to click through these to get back to the right episode. What episode are we on? 4, isn't it? God. Is this episode 4? Have I got the right one? Yes, I have, right. So he's full of this strange energy, which... eventually, after some faffing around by various characters in the story, including Lupton, who's now being very smug in the Queen's throne room.
Yes, he is. He's looking very self-assured,
he's very smug.
Though.
And he's also given a cock and ball story that he knows where the crystal is, because they've worked out that he hasn't got the crystal with them. Meanwhile, Tommy looks into the crystal and it is cured of his autism, which is a bit, you know...
Brilliant bit of poetry.
It's a brilliant scene and performance by the chap who plays Tommy, and I actually do love that. But I just think now and nowadays, I don't think they could put that into a story because people understand autism a lot better now than they did then. Mm. They were quite sympathetic towards it, and he played the part very well. But I don't think in today's PC world that would be allowed. So yeah, the doctor's not very well. So he gets Sarah to go out to the TARDIS to fetch a bag with a machine which will cure him. But unfortunately, Sarah gets arrested by Lupton. Meanwhile, Tommy's taken a fancy to a bit of reading, even though he doesn't understand the words. And Sarah is wrapped up in the larder, ready for dinner with the father of the two boys, who gave himself up to spare his son's life.
Very stoic, yeah, very stoic about being eaten.
Yeah. So the doctor, obviously, once he's got his machine, he sort of, what would you call it, discharges all the energy. And then he starts getting stones, because he wants to find some stones that will absorb the energy. And he makes a machine. During the scene in which he walks into the inner sanctum of the spiders, we meet a few of... The stuntmen who have become quite famous in Doctor Who over the last few years, during his era, in fact, now playing more sort of parts that have lines and are more acting and stuff like that. And there's a great scene in which he gets caught eventually, and he gets taken to the larder, and Sarah says, "Oh, Doctor!" And he, like, says, points behind himself, says, "Oh, Doctor!" sort of thing. Yeah, brilliant stuff. Pardon? What did you say?
Herbie gone.
Herbie's still there.
Kirby's still there.
Herbie is still there.
I'm still here.
Now I can see.
I've decided since Master doesn't want me to interrupt him anymore, I shouldn't interrupt.
Ooh, you're getting all sulky. Point for being sulky. I like that. That was really good bit of sulking there from Kirby. Right, so the Doctor, meanwhile, gets sort of wrapped up in a cocoony thing. I love the bit where the guard comes to cut Sarah out, and she thinks he's going to stab him, and she sort of reacts as if she's going to get stabbed. And then the scene in which we see the worst acting ever, which I'm going to turn the audio up for this. It's not fed into the Mac. This is it. Listen to this.
Must I lose my sight as well? I've carried you to the field at my breast. I've dried your eyes. I've laughed at you through the short years of your boyhood.
Shut up. Worst actress ever.
It's pretty bad, isn't it? Yeah.
So the doctor then wiggles out of his little cocoon because he remembers a little trick he was taught by Harry Potter. No, Harry.
Harry Smith.
Yeah. Somebody. Who just fiddled their microphone?
It was me, actually. Yeah, I was just moving.
What were you doing? How come all the other times you fiddled with it didn't make a noise?
Because I actually brushed it. That's why.
Well, put the brush away and that's fine. Right then, so meanwhile at the house, Barnes and his little sort of friends are a bit suspicious of where Lupton's gone to and what they're to do next, and then Yes, and Tommy overhears.
Stop touching your microphone.
I'm not touching my microphone. Tommy overhears.
By the way, Master.
Yes.
The actress who plays Nesca, who the very bad actress Jenny Laird. Yes. She's actually been in some fairly good things.
Yes.
All Creatures Great and Small, Inspector Morse.
Maybe she thought like in that. This one, maybe the paycheck wasn't very big. She thought in this one, well, I'll say my lines. I'm not going to do any acting. If I get paid a bit more, I actually might do some acting connected with the lines. I don't know, but she didn't do it in this one.
She was in a lot of things back in the late 30s and early 40s.
Was she? Okay. So Tommy...
Her 30s and 40s, or the 30s and
40s. The 30s and 40s. Hang on, I've got the spinning disc of doom on my other computer at the moment, so I'm just waiting for that to...
Is it a Macintosh?
It's an old Macintosh. It's 5 years old, so it's just... now it's back again. Right, so Tommy overhears...
Hi, Tom.
Tommy overhears... people talking about going down to the cellar, which makes him remember a few little scenes. While the Doctor goes to sort of slightly visit the Great One, and the Great One plays around with him for a little bit, which frightens the poor old Doctor, because he's being manipulated.
Half a pound of treacle.
Yeah, because she's able to manipulate voices and stuff like that. It's a bit of a bit like Mike Yarwood of Mike Yarwood as spiders.
Do you think Mike Yarwood? I share a birthday with him.
That's more almost as irrelevant as the stuff that Kirby comes out with. Well done.
I also share a birthday with Boy George.
Did you now?
You ought to give it back.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So yes, the Doctor is now scared out of his wits and decides to leg it back and get the. Try to see Campo, really, and see what he's supposed to do. And he realises very quickly that he's got to return the crystal to the Great One, otherwise everything will, go wrong. Yeah. So while
he accidentally stole it.
Yes.
Accidentally on purpose.
Yes. So while he's having a chat with Campo, all the men are trying to attack the guard, which is Tommy, and he's just absorbing all the individual blasts of lightning, whatever it is. So they decide all club together to blast him, and that's the end of the episode. And the interesting thing about episode 6 is that while all that's going on, they do a recap that shows what was going on while Tommy was protecting them.
Yeah, it was one of the really longest recap ever.
Yeah, but
thing,
we didn't
it?
See any of this stuff. This is what I found really interesting. They've done all this. Oh, this is what's happening when we saw this. Sarah, meanwhile, we didn't realise what we did, that she's possessed
by the
Queen.
Master, that is one thing with the recap. We actually had a scene in the recap which made what was going on in the previous episode made more sense.
Yeah, I like that.
It was odd.
Yes, but I do like that.
Very odd.
I think, stop fiddling with your microphone, and I like the fact that it doesn't pick up your yawning, Andy.
You're
Is that a song?
Kirby, hello. We can't hear you.
No, he's not saying anything now, so don't worry.
I didn't say anything.
That's why we couldn't hear you.
You know, the last time we saw Campo.
Yeah.
He was the leader of Atlantis.
Yes, I know. We said this at the time, but never mind. Sarah...
Well, you may have said it at the time, but I didn't know because I'd never seen episode 5 or the first part of episode 6 of this story, so I didn't know.
Oh, I didn't know that, Kirby. Sarah's meanwhile been possessed by the Queen, and they use the blue crystal to kill the Queen. She curls up her legs up like a dead spider. And meanwhile, Tommy is eventually overcome. And
there is a spider going down a web in front of my monitor.
Is there
seriously.
Really? How apt.
Seriously.
So all the men come. Thank you. All the men come in and shoot poor old Campo, who we did gloss over the fact that there was a conversation in which they did explain how Campo ended up on Earth, and he mentioned the fact that he regenerated and come back to Earth, and then Sarah says, regenerated? What's that all about then? Just so as we can explain what's going to happen to the Doctor within the next 15 minutes of the episode. The Doctor, meanwhile, quickly goes back to Metamedia. Is three and is escorted there by some overcome men, and then there's a brilliant scene in which Lupton has a bit of a go at the Queen and goes to squash her with a with his fist, and he gets zapped. Poor old Lupton. He was a great character. Mike gets shots at some point as well, but he's protected by his compassion. And then Campo dies and regenerates into Chochi. But while he's regenerating into Chochi, Chochi disappears. And this confuses Tommy somewhat. The Doctor, meanwhile, returns to the Cave of Crystals to give the Queen her final piece of the jigsaw. But realises
the
quickly...
The Great One, not the Queen.
Oh, yeah, sorry, the Great One. But soon realises it is actually a perfect feedback loop. So we get some feedback on this episode at last. But unfortunately, yes, it increases her mind power to infinity, therefore killing her. And blowing up the mountain and killing the Doctor and a tear Sarah Jane, blah, 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 blah. And
we've all seen hundreds of
times.
Here
we go again.
Yep.
And Tom Baker. So, right. I managed to get through this episode. I don't know how with your efforts, how I managed to actually get through it. But what I'm going to say about this has always been one of my top favourite stories of all time. It's certainly my favourite Pertwee story. And it's right up there with the Pirate Planet and City of Death. It's one of my charms of Doctor Who. It's in my top five, let alone my top ten. It has got flaws. I think, you know, I would probably say we could have lost an episode through the certain amount of padding in it. But because it's Planet of Spiders, I cherish this story. And I cherish every second I watch of it. So the fact that there might be quite large overlaps of you know, episodes when they do the recaps. Not so much in episode 6, because that was a really good large recap, because we got to see things we hadn't seen previously. It's an absolute gem of Doctor Who, and one of the greatest regeneration stories of all time. There's nothing wrong with this. I'm sorry, it's the best. It's the best John Pertwee story, and you lot are going to be oral about it. Mary, what do you think? Right then. Right, I'm going to break myself. I'm going to say that Debbie can be the Mary of the episode. I'm going to say, Andy, what did you think of this wonderful piece of Doctor Who? And be careful what you say.
Well, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I do remember this. It's just the first regeneration story I can remember watching, and it's like, what's happening? And my older sister's explained, yeah, it's going to be it's a new Doctor, and that's what's happened. I mean, you know, for six, it did drag a little bit for six episodes, but only just. And it's not like before, you know, like last week's, which really should have been a two-parter. Possibly one episode, but no more than that. Because I think it did spin out for six episodes, and there were some really good characters in there. I mean, you got Lupton was a very interesting character. Tommy was very, very good. The way they would use the spiders, I thoroughly enjoyed. There was a lot there that was very good, and it was a well-written story. It was very well-paced. I mean, the regeneration, in a way, this is probably the first proper regeneration we've seen. Do you think with Hartnell going into Troughton was sort of done on the fly? And, of course, we never had a Troughton into Pertwee one. Mm. So it's the first time we actually saw somebody regenerating, but also having somebody who understood what regeneration was about with the Brigadier there was, oh, here we go again. Because, you know, you did allude to it earlier about the fact that, you know, it would be a complete change. So he was the only one who knew what was coming. And don't think anybody else, possibly only the rest of the unit crew, would have understood what was going to happen. So I think it really worked well. It was very well paced. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well done, Andy. I'll give Andy a point for agreeing with me. Okay, right. And before we move on to Kirby, some stuff's come through on the video feed. We've had Ashley Hughes saying hello. Hello. Bye. Ashley. We've had Laurie Nick saying waves. So we're waving at... Well, I am waving at Laurie. She can't see you lot. Alan C. Butcher says, I have fed back, but you might warn Debbie it's never been longer. That's what she said.
That's what she said, yeah.
Laurie Nick said, promises, promises, Alan. And then Alan says, apparently Boy George also shares a birthday with Mike Yarwood.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Jeff Waddle, that's what she said. So thanks everybody for commenting on the Facebook live, which is four viewers, that's half as last week, my goodness. Right then, Kirby, what did you think?
absolutely loved it, and this is the first time I've seen it all the way through.
Is that it? That's quick, Kirby.
Ding.
Yeah,
you thank
got it.
You.
Got it done.
Sorry. Your audio is breaking up.
No, it's not. Carry on.
Not to you. Remind me next time to use a different computer.
Kirby, can you use a different computer next time?
Yes.
I can recommend the Macintosh. They're quite good.
Oh, you want me to dig my Macintosh SE out of the attic?
No, but I know somebody would like it. It's a chap called Paul Wilson. He loves Macs. He's got a collection of old Macs in his room. But carry on.
It'll probably cost too much for me to ship it to England.
Okay.
Anyway, I'd seen bits and pieces of this. Of course, I've watched the regeneration scene hundreds of times.
Yes.
And for some reason, one time a few years ago, I started watching this, made it all the way through to the end of the episode where Sarah goes to Metabius 3, completely missed the section on Metabius 3.
Mm-hmm.
And started watching again after the regeneration. So I don't know what happened there, because this is the first time I've seen those Metabius 3 scenes at all. Oh. The spiders are rubbish.
I forgot about mentioning about the rubbish spiders, because I just love the story too much. Sorry. They're not as rubbish as the dinosaurs are.
The stick. The stick from the bottom. But so what? Fred watched with me. This is the first time she'd seen it, and she absolutely loved the story.
Yes.
And just had a grand old time. Watched it over a two-night period. Watched the first three episodes and the last three episodes. And just, it's a masterpiece.
A masterpiece, thank you very much.
Yes.
Right, hang on. Someone's fidgeting. That sounds like Andy. Is that headpiece not very comfortable for you, mate?
Yeah, just trying to get adjusted right. That was all. So it's a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, what about the headpiece?
Hang on, if I do right, how's that?
It may be all right for you, but every time you move it, we get this. Sounds a bit like the
It sounds like
aliens.
His tummy. Doesn't it?
Sounds like what?
Sorry about that.
Right then, so yeah, go on, Deb.
Too long. It was.
That's
too
what
long.
She said.
No.
Right.
It was too long.
Gives me pleasure to play this noise for you, Debbie. Carry on.
Never mind. But aside from that, it was good fun. Really enjoyed it.
That
it
is
was.
Right.
There you go, redeemed myself. But no, it was. I felt it was too long because the chase obviously went on for a long time, and you spent the whole episode just sort of being chased. I didn't see that as kind of relevant. It was like, let's show all the toys, let's get Pertwee and all the toys.
But it was his last episode. They were going to do that.
I know, but it felt a bit like, you know, that bit where David Tennant takes the longest goodbye ever.
It's the same thing. Like, last episode.
Yeah, it felt like that, but with toys instead. So, you know, it was like, you know, it got use out of every toy that he used.
That's what Pertwee was about, though. It was about the gadgets, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, go-go gadget doctor in this episode. But, it was brilliant. I hate spiders at the best of times, and there was actually a couple of moments that they did make me cringe. The bit where the queen curled up really did make me cringe, because that was so realistic. But I'm absolutely terrified of them. So there's always going to be an interesting story to watch. I'd seen it before.
Andy!
Sorry.
It sounded like you farted. Obviously, we've watched this episode before, reviewed it before, and I enjoyed it the first time, enjoyed it this time.
Stop picking your nose. Sorry, not you. Andy's got Kirby's habit.
I don't recall that we've done this story before.
We have. I have watched it otherwise.
Yeah, we have done it before. Thank you, Debbie, for getting that one right, for remembering that.
How come I can't find notes or anything about it? Maybe I didn't make it that week.
Oh, I think that's a likely thing that you didn't. But yes, we have done it before. Yes,
it was when we were still picking, you know, choosing the episodes we wanted to watch.
I don't remember doing a quiz on it. I did try and find some quiz notes, but I couldn't find any.
I couldn't find my notes, but I know that we watched it because
we have seen it.
I would not have watched it before
because it's my favourite story. I would have incorporated it into the podcast somewhere on the line before we did the journey, so it definitely would have been on.
I would have remembered all that Metabolus 3 stuff.
You would? Ow, I just stubbed my finger. That was your fault, Kobe, because I was just going to refer to Google. Yeah, go on then. And you're... Hello? Is he gone?
Who?
Is he gone?
Can I carry on with my review?
Yeah, sorry, Dad. That's Kirby's fault. Now you know what it's like being interrupted by him all the blimmin' time.
I thought it was quite nice, especially for younger viewers, the bit when the abbot obviously regenerates. I thought that was quite a nice way of introducing the fact the Doctor is going to regenerate. And obviously, if you'd watched that as a child, I didn't watch this one with Isla, unfortunately, then it was a really nice way of going, it's possible, kids, and it's happened before, so here we go again, you know, basically. And I really enjoyed that whole sort of a very gentle hand leading of the younger viewers, especially into the fact that there's a new Doctor coming, because Pertwee was obviously so popular. And little did we know that probably the most popular Doctor was about to come. So it was a completely unexplored territory for a lot of kids, a whole generation of kids, basically. And I just really thought that it was such a well done part of the story, the fact that all things change but stay the same, and do things stay the same? Will everything be different? Will everything be normal? And it was great the way that got you thinking as well, even though you've got the action going on of, you know, the spiders attacking and things like that, but you were still had the thoughtful nature. And that's what I really like about Doctor Who, and that's what especially Classic Who embraces, is just the whole different aspects of the fact it's not just all running. It is, you know, think about it. I know it's a science fiction TV fantasy show, but you know, sometimes you've got to stop and think. And I like that. So there you go. Brilliant. Can't wait.
So you did like it then?
I did like it, but it was too long.
That's what she said.
No, it isn't.
Answer.
Yeah, I'm sure we have done it before, but like I can't see any reference to it on the 20 megabyte Google search.
I can't see any reference to it. I do have a reference on Debbie on May 21st, 2014, said, got downstairs after a day recuperating to find Planet of the Spiders on watch. But then I checked the calendar around then, and we had just done, what is it?
That might have been it then.
You might have watched it on your own, because the week before that, we did Greatest Show of the Galaxy. Then we did Silurians, and then we did the Romans.
Yep.
Okay, well, never mind then. I'm surprised we've not done it before, because, you know, like I say, it's a top
story. Yeah, 2014, that was when there was a lot of it on watch, wasn't there?
That's what she said. Right then, it's feedback time.
Oh, God.
Okay, Planet of the Spiders. Really? I've always had a soft spot for this story for many reasons, and I think mainly because it's John Pertwee's swan song, his send-off. You know, the best Doctor of all time, in my opinion, really. You know, I've lost count on how many times I've watched his story, and I never tire of doing so. I can watch it again and again. You know, it's got some good, interesting Buddhist parallels. It's not a bad plot with the spiders wanting the blue crystal back at Metabolus 3. And it's got that wonderful characterization of Tommy. And I think apart from John Pertwee, John Cairn really stole the show in this story. Mm-hmm. I love some of his lines. Clever Lupton. Yeah. And when he was talking to Sarah Jane, Tommy, like you, Sarah Jane. The candidness of a simplistic childlike mind simply speaking out what probably every fanboy was thinking anyway.
Really?
Jane. Anyway, but being a Third Doctor fan, what I found most appealing about this story was the Pertwee-esque aspect of this story, in which I find quite fitting for his send-off, the Third Doctor, that is. We've got the gadgetry, the sonic screwdriver, the blue crystal. We've got his thirst for knowledge. We've got Also, the Humabeel Bessie, the little helicopter thing, the boats and the hovercraft. You know, great stuff. And we've got the Venusian martial arts later on in the story. Yes, it's got some deficits, this story as well, but such as the spiders' voices, which I found quite grating as it went on, as well as, you know, some of the padded out scenes were a bit sort of monotonous, but all that aside, I just love this story. I really do, you know, for the reasons mentioned above. And I think despite the lack of budget spent on the regeneration scene, this has to be the most touching, emotive regeneration scenes of all the Doctors, in my opinion. I just love it. Incidentally, why has the Doctor Who franchise not capitalized on flogging off blue crystals?
Yeah,
I'd love one. Yeah, I really would. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid and up in England, and the cobble streets used to, you know, the cobbles used to be held together with black tar, you know. I remember making my own Metabilis 3 blue crystal with this black tar. So I did have one, but it was black. Anyway, never mind. I digress. But yes, great story. And I was absolutely devastated when John Pertwee left. But little did I know at the time that we're on the verge of what I would consider to be the most exciting and best era of Doctor Who of all times. Bring on Tom Baker. Great stuff. Take care.
See you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy. Nice to hear from Billy there.
Excited too. Can't wait. So excited.
Are you?
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, Pertwee was my doctor. He really was.
Yeah, he was sort of my doctor until Peter Davison came along.
Peter Davison was the doctor I was... Tom Baker was on when I was born, but Peter Davison's first one I remember. But I do remember seeing a lot of Tom Baker stuff over the years. And
you lot's internet is terrible. You went all Cher then. Anyway.
Did
I? Pertwee was the doctor. I remember his first ever story.
Hello, 20 in the Back podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hi, Ian.
Concentrate. I am. Haunt of the Spiders by Robert Snowman. We have Cyril Shapps again. And as usual, he gets very worried. This time it seems to be arachnophobia. Your Sam Churchman is also back. The Doctor gets to fly the Hoombabeel and the gyrocopter and does some Venusian Aikido. Duke Fell gets run over by a hovercraft. At the end, the Doctor faces his fear and returns the crystal, and the Great One dies. So does the Doctor.
Yes.
I'm not dead!
He says he's not dead!
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Excellent stuff. Right. Just guess what's just arrived in your inbox, my darling little baby.
Yeah, found it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
What kind of closely studied?
Oh, my God, that's huge.
That's what she said.
We're talking the gyrocopter. There's Luton, put the helmet on. Then when he landed the gyrocopter, he very carefully put the helmet back on the seat. When you think, if he's running away, he should have run off and lobbed it over his shoulder, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Like, why did he do that so carefully?
Don't know. Anyway, Carrie, have you got it, Deb?
Yeah, I'm just marvelling at the length of it.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Swig of tea. All hail the great banking crisis.
The great what crisis?
Banking crisis.
Okay, sorry.
Dear 20 Megabiters, the Planet of the Spiders is, of course, a closely studied tract on the dangers of untrammeled greed and capitalism, with particular reference to the fiduciary economic sector. The spiders, originally money spiders, I guess, proved a stark representation of the banking system, not always pulling in the same direction, but dominating the colony that they accompanied. The Great One herself clearly foreshadows the pre-2008 drive for banks to grow inexorably to dangerous proportions. The crystals stand in for the power exerted by and the exploited by the financial system. What? Okay. The actor playing the effective colony leader, Arak, being Gareth Hunt, may be a subtle neologistic rhyming slang allusion to these characters being... He's put that bloody word in again. Analogous to the various types of banks working under the aegis of their banks. Mike Yates, having been led astray previously, becomes a whistleblower looking to prove his goodwill. The retreat seems to represent a framework to control the errant forces at play, but which is at danger of being misused by a misguided group. Tommy is a personification of what the hopeful public reaction to the crisis would be, having found out about a small part of the powers being misused. Suddenly, he understands much more about what is really happening around him. Campo Rinpoche represents once stronger, now tired and fading Rinpoche. Regulatory system, who has in part lost control of the retreat. Is the idea of, and then the reality of, the required renewal of sensible financial regulation. Whew. The story payoff is the Doctor in his grasping of the crystal representing societal tendencies to allow the financial system too much latitude to get away with sharp practices for short-term fiscal advantage and ignoring the serious risks. Rather like Gordon Brown, the Doctor confronts this finally, but the Great One has reached an unsustainable point, even though she is thought too big to fail. The Doctor is overwhelmed by the aftermath. Despite getting through the crisis, he is forced to regenerate himself. It should be noted that although some might suggest that spiders of this size would neither be able to support their own body weight nor process enough oxygen in a normal atmosphere to sustain their function, that it must be remembered it's only a TV show. It may also be observed that the colony looks very fake indeed, but who can say an alien world would not look like a studio? We also learn that Boss from Global Chemicals escaped and created a Homo ex machina in the body of Lupton, but got pushed out to his great disappointment, and Atlantean King Delios was in fact the Doctor's Gallifreyan mentor, first mentioned in Atlantis and again here. He went on to Tibet and then Britain before regenerating into a slim Sontaran watcher called Chochi. Why can't I say it right?
What, Chochi?
Chochi, who it turned out Campo Rinpoche all the time. All in all, The Planet of the Spiders is a clunky story with some very good elements thrown together a little haphazardly. Perhaps not quite the great finale deserved by the remarkable Jean de Pertheus to... Oh, God, I hate you sometimes. Yeah, whatever. But that is somewhat inevitable given the tragic loss of Roger Delgado. We have been spoilt by the Let's Dicks gestalt stories and the most confident of leading men and a wider cast given room to breathe and time to develop. A lot is said, harking back to a golden era in Doctor Who. There are many, and this was certainly one. Surely it must all be downhill from here. This Tom Baker chap can't possibly make a success of it, can he? Next up, Doctor Who and the strange redesign of the cyber control and the hairy Nazi scientists. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher. Yeah. Sorry, Alan.
Well done, hello, Debbie. Hello, Tom. Yeah, some things have come through on the feed. We've got Kirby Bartlett Sloan posting the helicopter thing is an autogyro, as seen, of course, we did mention it in James Bond. And Alan T. Butcher says, congrats to Billy and Andy on embarking on their new life together in New York.
Yeah, except it's a spoof.
Yeah, well done.
Yes.
Right, moving on, more feedback. This has just arrived, actually. While you were reading out Alan's, this arrived.
Yeah.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. This is Matthew here in North Alabama. And though I'm sadly not able to be on the show live today due to a family obligation, I wanted to send in some feedback to mark my seemingly obligatory once-per-doctor appearance on the show.
Me.
So let's talk about Planet of the Spiders, shall we? I have to admit that the first time I saw the story around 2007, maybe 2008, it didn't do much for me. It was overlong, falling into that trap many six-parters do of starting well before having a middling middle that lets the whole thing down. Sure, it had the biggest action sequence Doctor Who had ever done up to this point, not to mention plot elements that play off the influences of James Bond and Quatermass on this era, and I can imagine Mary is marking off her list for me mentioning both of those.
She would if she was here.
But those things don't make up a story in their own right. So back then, despite being a big Pertwee fan, it was hard not to be down on it. Yet, when it came out on DVD in 2011, and I sat down to watch it again, my opinion of it had totally changed. Maybe that was because I had seen the rest of the Pertwee era by that point and could watch it in some kind of context. After all, it's really the template for the new series' Doctor Regeneration stories, arguably from Eccleston onwards, but definitely Tennant's and Smith's, where you bring together elements from across a Doctor's era to tell their swan song story. And let's be honest, Planet of the Spiders does that in spades. I mean, think about it. It's everything you expect out of a Pertwee story, really. The Third Doctor, UNIT, the threat of an alien invasion coming out from the English countryside, those are all elements tried and true from the earliest days of this era. Add on to that the alien planet, strange alien creatures, and psychic powers that are all hallmarks of the later, less earthbound parts of this era as well. Not to mention the Metabilis crystal sent back by Joe Grant, a lovely callback to the past that sets the whole story in motion. Even the casting with people like Kevin Lindsay, Cyril Shapps, and George Cormack, who had all played roles in earlier Pertwee stories, speaks to this as well. The only thing missing, really, is Roger Delgado's Master, but then, if he hadn't sadly passed away when he did, this would be another story entirely. Something else I had noticed on that first watch a decade ago was that this is a story about both change and power. Almost everyone in the story is in a state of change, from Mike Yates trying to sort himself out after betraying UNIT and, well, humanity at large in Invasion of the Dinosaurs, Lupton thinking he can get some kind of power to get revenge on the firm that let him go, the Great One, all praise to the Great One, seeking
all praise to the Great One,
mental powers to an unimaginable level, right down to the two Time Lords in the story. But it's what they do with that power that changes them and ultimately defines them for better and worse. It's certainly an interesting thought in underpinning the whole story. In the end, Planet of the Spiders is a celebration of everything that made the Pertwee era what it was. If you like this era, you'll probably enjoy it. If not, you probably won't. Sure, it's a tad over long, but as a celebration of one of Doctor Who's most defining eras, it's an enjoyable watch, even if most of the cliffhangers are rubbish. Best wishes to everyone at 20 megabytes. So, until next time, so long, and thanks for all the fish.
Yes, thank you, Matthew. Good effort. Prefer to see him actually on the show, wouldn't we, everybody? All right, fair enough.
By the way, did people spot we had Kismet Delgado on the show?
Well done, Andy. Good point for Andy there for that important fact I forgot to mention. Right. Kirby's really annoyed now because he wanted to say that. Right, that's sort of covered.
No, I missed that. Sorry. By the way, if I would consider this one of the best Pertwees, but I actually have a fondness for Time Warrior.
You do?
I like that.
I like Time Warrior.
Mainly because of Sarah Jane.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a fondness for quite a lot of Pertwee stories, but this is my favourite. Right then, you posted something on the 20 megabyte group for feedback, and
yes, and you got upset at me.
It's mock upset. I was never mind. Right, Laurie Nick says things I've learned from Planet of the Spiders. One, when UNIT scientific advisor asks you back to the lab to test your paranormal abilities, just say no. To which I said, I think he was leaving him with the crystals problem. And Laurie Nick says maybe he was overcome with that psychometry reading of the Briggs watch. There's a picture of the Brigadier smooching with somebody. Can't see who that is.
What?
There's a picture that Laurie posted but looks a bit like the Brigadier on top of a woman having a smooch.
Okay, fair enough.
Joshua Dybel says, great story, yes, a little bit long. Funny how you never see inside the TARDIS. Did they not have the budget? And then he says, didn't know you could safely fly hovercraft over somebody. Well, you can't. That's why he flew over a stuntman.
Yes, Stuart fell.
Yes, I know he did.
And yes, you can safely fly it over somebody.
You probably can. It's a hovercraft. It's flying at the end of the day. And then Jeff Waddle says, it's crap. It was crap when I saw it in transmission, and it's crap now. and then he says, next episode, the beginning of the best era there has ever been and ever will be. Mind you, there's some crap in there too. That's true.
Master?
Yes. Yes.
Well, first of all, you've got feedback on your version.
Yeah, I know. I'm just allow me to
may I make a statement?
Depends what the statement is.
First of all, I was planning on posting the request for feedback anyway.
Yes.
And even though I saw yours and posted mine 20 minutes later.
Yes.
I tend to always do it. And secondly, I try to put in two things.
Yes.
That you don't.
All right, yes.
Pictures.
A joke and a picture.
Well, we don't ever take notice of the joke, but the pictures, at least you've got time to do that. I don't mind you posting, that's fine. I don't want anyone probably posting.
You know how long it took me to find that picture?
No, it's very lovely. Isn't it lovely of Kirby, everybody? Anyway, moving on, continuing with the feedback. Alan C. Butcher says, Kirby asked me to say, as he was too shy to bring it up, that it is not technically John Pertwee's last story, which was The Five Doctors, or some might say The Ghosts of Enspace. I'm going to ignore nonsense like that.
I did not say that.
He regenerated. Him. It's Pertwee's last story. It doesn't matter if his earlier self appeared in later episodes.
And I did not say anything of the sort to him.
Yes, we know. He was winding you up.
Mm. Jeff Wardle says he did the regeneration sequence later than that for those lads' homemade thing. So there was like a homemade thing, wasn't it, regeneration thing done. And then I deducted a point from Kirby, wasn't it? I think I remember. I'm deducting points from, isn't it? Matthew Kressel said, Jeff Waddle, do you mean devious?
Why would you deduct a point from me?
I can't remember, so that's why I didn't bother deducting.
I didn't say anything there.
I can't remember. That's why I didn't deduct it. However, I could change my mind. Jeff Waddle said, do you mean devious? It's still not finished or released in full. Apparently, it's in post-production now. But a lengthy bit of it containing the Pertwee segment was released on DVD of the War Games. Oh, yes, where I've seen it, yes. Jeff Wardle says, I think that was the last thing he filmed. Matthew Kressel said, it was the last time he played the Third Doctor, as Ghosts of Enspace had been recorded in 1994 and then was delayed in being broadcast. Facts, you see. Billy Kirkbright said, the Pert, sad face, heart. And then he says, you'll have audio feedback from Oz at Alan T. Butcher, not New York. And then a laughy face. So somebody's going to explain this to me in a minute. Laurie Nick says, not fair. I mediated in the basement on this and of this Tibetan
meditated.
Wheel.
Meditated.
Oh, sorry. Meditated in the basement on this Tibetan wheel of fate, and all I got was enlightenment.
Oh,
and there's a picture of a mandala. And then
yes,
she
it's
said,
a very good story, enlightenment.
Then Laurie Nix says, bonus Buddhist koan to ponder. Does it count as yellow face if you are more a mere projection of a Tibetan coming from the mind of a Time Lord in somewhat ambiguous yellow face? Probably doubly so. And then Billy Kirkbright said he sent his audio feedback. That essentially covers feedback.
Joshua just sent something else.
Yes, I know. I'm just about to... Right. He says, well done, Kirby. The picture did catch my eye. Good shot to choose. Right, so what's this New York stuff all about then? There's all these little remarks about New York.
There's
what's going on?
There's a running joke going through Facebook where people are putting quite a long spiel about how they're fed up and they're moving and that it's going to be great adventures. Love you all. And so many people are not bothering
I've seen
to
that.
Read them. Yeah, they're not bothering to read it all
yes,
the way through.
I've
wishing
seen
everybody
that.
The best of luck and how yeah. wonderful and oh, good luck everybody. And Andy's repeatedly having to write, read it all.
Yes, I have seen that. Yeah, I did read it all on that occasion. Jeff Wardle said, "Why is it when you open a tin of evaporated milk, it's full?"
Why wouldn't it be?
Is that like if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear
it? Great. I love that one, Jeff.
Is that one of those ponderous questions that makes you consider the whole of reality, or is it just him being Jeff?
Both, I suspect. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Jeff is good, except he's wrong about this story.
Okay, right then. So, Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead after the questions?
Debbie.
And hang on, press the wrong button. just got tight with the microphone in the way. Kirby, who do you think is going to be ahead after the questions?
Debbie.
A running theme developing here. Debbie, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questions?
Kirby.
Okay, this is going to be interesting.
Remember, I'm several points behind.
Oh, you always have some sort of excuse. Right.
Well, last time.
Andy, who do you think is going to be last?
Kirby.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Controversial. Kirby, who do you think is going to be last?
Andy.
Ooh.
Not and controversial.
Debbie. Debbie, no, who do you think is going to be last?
Andy, sorry.
Andy, okay. Sorry. I don't think Andy Sorry is on the list, but we'll go with Andy.
Who's the Andy Sorry?
He's related to Andy Nunny.
Ah, oh, okay. Right then. So, first question goes to, who is it? Oh, yeah, Andy. Right, okay. On last week's show, who
oh,
did
God,
Adam...
Shh,
you did, were on it, though.
You didn't listen
shush,
to it,
though. Shush, who did Adam introduce first on last week's show?
Kirby.
Wrong.
No.
Was it me?
Here's a good
I was
answer.
About to say that.
Yes,
and
indeed.
And you didn't have any of the regular bumpers, so
oh,
I've
do a, oh, you were
that.
Listening, were you? It makes a change, right, Kirby?
Yes, I was listening, Master. Yes.
Who asked? Is this not the same Agador statue, though?
Joker.
Yes.
Me.
Perfect playing of the Joker there by Mr. Bartlett Sloan. Debbie.
Yes.
Andy.
Yeah.
I can hear some fiddling of microphones. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
Who said, tell Dawn she's lost the quiz?
Was it you, Adam?
Nope. Anybody?
It must have, I'll have a go. It'd be me.
Hmm. Nope.
I think
it
was
Mary. Right. So there's 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. Who said, "I didn't enjoy this very much"? I'm afraid.
Mary.
Nope.
Can I go?
Go on, Em.
I think it was me.
You get all the available points for that because it's a bonus question. Okay, for the scores then after the first round of questionings. In last place with 2 points, it's Andy. And joint first with 5 points each, it's Kirby and Debbie. In here's Andy's question.
Okay.
Who said there was so little plot line in there, it was unbelievable?
Kirby.
I wouldn't say that. I think I know, though.
Hang on, let me put the bonus point in the pot. Yeah, go on, Kirby. Yeah, Kirby?
Mary.
Mary, yeah.
Mary, quite contrary, it wasn't. No, it was Andy.
Oh!
What?
Blimey.
So, that was Andy's question. It was right then, Kirby.
Yes, Master.
Who said he's just completely wrong?
Me.
Well, hang on, there's not a question. Yeah, no, who's you said you, did you? That was therefore a... Anybody?
Was it Mary?
Nope. And the answer was... Andy. Right, so the next question goes...
Blimey!
All right, Debbie, your question. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Andy couldn't hear himself over the background noise.
Thank you.
Who remarked, it's her acting, I think, that really pulls this together?
Was it Mary?
Correct answer. So, we have 5 points in the bonus spot for this question. Of course, I'll make sure... Oh, yeah. Who said, I have no problem with this part of the podcast? Who said?
Mary.
Quite contrary. Nope.
Me.
Indeed.
Is that magic?
Well, panting, yes. Who else is it going to be? I'm not me blimmin' panting, is it?
Might be.
Grief. Right, so was that Debbie's question? No, it's a bonus pot. Sorry, that was a bonus pot question.
No, right, it's a bonus pot.
So after that round, it's in last place with 2 points, Andy. In second place with 7 points, Debbie. And then the leader with 10 points, it's Kirby. So the next question goes to Andy. And we're now on to the Planet of Spiders. Who featured in the opening scene?
I know.
It was Mike Yates.
You should have played your Joker, really, yeah, I have to say. Kirby.
Master.
What colour was Professor Clegg's bow tie? It's all gone quiet over there.
Red.
Ooh. Nope. Anybody?
Was it brown?
Love these random colours that people come up with. Nope. It was blue.
Ooh.
Rather.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a colour that was in keeping with the theme of the episode, really, wasn't it? Next question.
Oh, really? Yes.
Next, so that was your question, wasn't it, Kirby? Debbie's question, then.
Whose question was it?
It was Kirby's question about the what colour was the bow tie. Yes?
So it's now...
It's now Andy. Debbie's question. Andy's had his question, haven't you, Andy?
Yeah.
Right. Where did Sarah say the monastery was all set up? The Tibetan monastery, part of the monastery. Where did she say it was? It's all gone very quiet again. Which leads me to hover over the appropriate icon.
Middle of nowhere?
Oh, I know, yes. Darkest Mummerset.
Here's the correct answer.
Wait, whose question was that?
Debbie's question. Right, we've got 3 points in the bonus pot. For this question, what did Sarah give Tommy to shut him up?
I know.
Yes.
I'm going to play my Joker. It was a brooch.
Oh,
It was her brooch.
I can't remember whether that was a normal question or a bonus pot question.
It was a bonus question, and I played
the joke. Oh, I see. Very clever. Yes, very good.
Yes, good.
So, the scores. In last place for 5 points, Andy. In second place for 10 points, Kirby. And then the lead with 13 points, Debbie. Next question goes to Andy. By the way, if you'd said it was a brooch shaped like a shield, you would have got a bonus point, but you didn't say that. Right. Andy, what was the MO's name? That's a chief medical officer. What was his name?
I know.
Hang on a minute. It's Jackpot Sullivan.
Jackpot Sullivan?
Joker Sullivan.
Yes, that's the correct answer. Yes, you get your Joker. Yes, it is Sullivan. You would have got an extra point if you'd said Harry Sullivan, but no, you said Sullivan. I know he didn't say Harry in the thing, but it was Harry Sullivan.
It is No Shave November, so he would have been Harry.
What?
Point deducted for Kirby for the worst attempt at comedy ever. That's appalling. Right. Right then, Andy, Kirby, sorry, this is your question.
Master.
Why did the Doctor stop the Brigadier shooting at Lupton?
I don't remember.
Anybody?
Was it because he had the crystal?
God, you did really watch this story? No. No, Brigadier, you'll damage my car, is what he said.
Oh, yeah.
Right, whose question was that? I've lost the plot now.
That was mine.
Right, so that means it's Debbie's question.
Hello.
What was the flying car's number plate?
I know.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know as well, yeah.
Sorry, Debbie?
I don't know.
Kirby said he knows.
G-A-X-V-K.
No. No.
You don't know.
It was who to M.
Oh. I thought you were talking about the gyrocopter.
No, it wasn't that either. So you're all blooming wrong. The answer was WVO2M.
Come on, I was nearly there.
Not nearly enough.
See, I was expecting you to do the gyrocopter.
Were you now? You should have been paying attention. No, bad luck, everybody. No. Right, Debbie.
Wasn't fair.
So we all screwed up.
Debbie,
that
was that your question originally?
Yes, it was.
I've got 5 points in the bonus pot then. Who did Lupton push out of his own boat? And this is a really clever question. I'm so good at writing these things. Who did Lupton push out of his own boat?
Oh, God.
Go on.
Hopkins.
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
Terry Walsh.
That's a well-deserved haul of bonus points there for Kirby. Yes, oh, it was Master, indeed.
Wasn't
yes.
it Mr. Hop? Wasn't it Mr. Hopkins?
No.
He was the man with
no.
the. With
no,
the
no, it wasn't. No. It's Terry Walsh.
And I've got unless Master's about to ask about it, Mr. Hopkins.
Hopkins had the hovercraft.
Oh, yeah, okay. And he was the actual owner of the.
Yes,
of the
no, I'm talking about. I was trying to get Terry Walsh into the quiz again, but yes. Right. So Debbie, was that, have you had, played your Joker yet? By the way.
I have.
Good. So everybody's played their jokers. I just wanted to make sure that's correct. Right. So,
that was the bonus question.
So the scores are in last place with 9 points, it's Andy. In second place with 13 points, is Debbie. And then the lead with 14 points, it's Kirby. And there is Andy's question.
Okay.
Who woke Lupton up while he slept with the crystal?
Barnes.
Is a correct answer. Kirby. Master. By what title did the Doctor address Cho Chi while waiting for Lupton? You won't get this one.
God, no. No, I won't.
Anybody?
No.
Good. I'm rather proud of myself for that question. It was Venerable.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Right, so who was that one for? I've lost where I am again. Who had that question originally? Was it Andy?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it was, yeah.
So Kirby now.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Kirby, okay. How can the Doctor be sure of landing in the right place?
I know.
I don't know.
Apparently Debbie knows.
He's pre-programmed, hardwired it into the TARDIS.
Nope.
What?
It. No, the answer was he leaves it to the TARDIS. He can get he can hotwire the planet into the circuits, but landing in the right place, he leaves that to the TARDIS. Well
Fair
done.
Fair enough.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Right, sorry. Anybody in the TARDIS? Right then. Why did the bell ring on the planet at night? Why did the bell ring?
I know.
Was it curfew time?
Yep.
Ding.
Ding. It was indeed curfew time. 4 points in the bonus pot. What is the penalty for most crimes on Metabilis 3?
There
you go, Kirby got it. He's doing well with the bonus points this week. So the points, the scores. In last place, 11 points, Andy. In second place, 15 points, Debbie. The lead, 18 points, Kirby. Next question goes to Andy.
Okay.
In the beginning, the spiders grew angry with the people of which place because they kept too much food for themselves? Bonus point. Right, and Kirby.
Master.
What is the name of the sister played by Joanna Monroe?
I haven't the foggiest.
No, I don't think they'll give a long name like that. That would be really complicated.
No idea either.
Nobody?
No.
Okay, it's going to be a...
What's happened to Debbie? Why is
Rhaegar!
Did you say something there, Debbie?
Rhaegar!
Well, why didn't you say it earlier?
Oh, God.
Give it to her.
That's what she said.
He just wants to win.
Okay, I'll give it to her. Rhaegar was the answer. Deb needs to improve on her internet connection. Go with white fibre, Deb, because it's really quite good. Right, bonus pot, one point.
Shout the half a block.
Right, well, bonus point. Where did Tommy finally hide the crystal?
I know. It's in the first aid box.
Is the correct answer. So the
I would say he. I would say he finally.
Shut up, Kirby.
Kanpo.
Right, that's a bonus. That's a point deducted for being really, really silly.
I'm correct though.
No, you're being silly. Right. So next question goes to Andy. I'm just seeing if we've got enough left. Oh, we have. Right, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do the chant? the chant.
Om naki oni nom. Om naki omi om. Om naki omi om.
No.
Om naki omi om.
No. No. Shush. Anybody? Anybody?
Go ahead, Deb. Do it.
Om mani padme hum.
Yes.
Oh, well done, Debbie. Brilliant. brilliant. That was Deb.
Right, Kirby.
Basta.
What did Tommy say when Sarah said he was normal?
I think I know.
Go on, Em.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Well, let me try.
Go on, Em.
Pretty? No. No. I don't know.
He's still like, I sincerely hope not.
Yes.
Word for word correct.
Wow! Get in!
Bonus point. oh, I'll do that as well. Oh, I've already done that, haven't I? I can't do it twice. Right then. Debbie. Debbie?
Yes?
What time was it on the grandfather clock why Tommy defended the Campo Riboche?
6 o'clock?
Anybody?
Quarter past ten. As good as any, isn't it?
17:12.
No, it's 3 p.m.
17:12.
It's 3 o'clock.
On the grandfather clock, it wouldn't be 17, would it? We'd do 24-hour clock, you
Right, whose question was that for?
You know, I look at analog clocks and I still
all right, shush,
read the
shush,
24 hours.
Shush. Right, yes. Bonus pot. 4 points. What did both Campo and Chochi hold in their left hand? Won't get this one. It was a clue to the fact they were the same person. I'm not going to say anything else other than that.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
I'll have to look it up whenever.
Like a pendant of some kind.
I'm going to give you that one, even though I went Dudger. It's not right. I like the fact you came up with a very close answer to that one. I love you. That one's pretty good. Well done. Excellent. Well, the answer was beads, but the beads would have been beads possibly connected to a pendant. So I'd like to give you the points for that, wow. Andy. Well done. Right. 2 points left. Sorry, 2 questions left. They're all free for alls. Free for all question number one is this. Who protected Yates? Sorry, what protected Yates?
His compassion.
The correct answer. And the last question is, what was Campo's last line?
Look after him.
The correct answer. So the final scores of the quiz part of the round is in last place with 17 points each. It's Debbie and Kirby. And in the lead with 25 points, it's Andy. So, Andy predicted Debbie, which leaves me with 25. Predicted Kirby, who worked out quite nicely. Kirby predicted Debbie, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. And Andy, oh dear.
And
oh dear,
I would have gotten it too if it weren't for those meddling kids.
Debbie predicted Kirby, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. And Andy, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. So the final score this week, so you won't get this one, in last place with 17 points each, it's Kirby and Debbie. And the winner this week with 50 points is Andy.
Yay!
I think we should look at Doctor Who news. Now, I did allude earlier on to the fact that Children in Need was on Friday, and they did an extended scene from the new Christmas episode, which is coming up soon. It was a very tantalising scene in which
yes.
the Doctors walk into the 12th Doctor's TARDIS, and with, of course, Mark Gatiss' character, the Captain. So makes me all the more eager for Christmas Day to come along.
Yay!
More to see one last time the brilliance of Peter Capaldi playing the Doctor. I was also at my mother's on Saturday evening before we went to see Daddy's Home 2. What a great film that is. She was watching an old episode of Poirot, and Peter Capaldi was in that too, looking very young with brown hair. Right then. Keith Barron's died. I didn't even know this.
83. Not bad going, I suppose.
No, but what a legend actor he is. That's sad news. He was in Enlightenment. He played the captain. Well, actually played striker in Enlightenment. He was a face on British TV for many years. That's all you can say about him. I didn't even know he died. That's sad. Doctor Who magazine issue 519.
Episode.
Shut up. With David Bradley on the cover. Is out now. And Australian cinema outing for Twice Upon a Time. So they're going to be showing the Christmas special in cinemas. But when? I hope they don't do it in advance of Christmas Day. Otherwise there could be trouble. When are they doing that then?
Probably Boxing Day.
I hope so. They can't do it on Christmas Day or before Christmas Day. You know why?
Why?
Because the Australians will know what's going on or see the arrival before everybody else. And that's not wrong. Sorry, not
yeah, it says Boxing Day.
Good. The Essential Doctor Who Time Travel as a book. Oh, no, it's a collective story.
Yeah, it's one of these special Doctor Who magazine
yeah,
things.
Yeah, it's like a history
how
of
to
Doctor
go get
Who.
It.
And, like I say, we did say about the children reading, there's some pictures of Pearl Mackey and Peter Capaldi holding Pudsey. We already talked about Scott Fredericks dying in the last episode. So we've managed to catch up with that. But I did notice somebody posted, in fact, somebody I met at Dimensions in Newcastle has been at the Comic-Con in Birmingham over the weekend. Guess who was at that Comic-Con?
Paul McGann.
Who?
Pearl Mackey. Oh, she can be bothered to turn up at that one.
Yeah.
When she's apparently... I just spoke to Ben, the runner of the Isle of Wight Comic-Con. When she apparently has theatre work on, which is obviously the reason she gave that she couldn't be bothered to turn up on the Isle of Wight. But no, the MCM Comic-Con. Oh, she turns up to that and has her picture with... I can't remember his name now. Not terrible. Chap who... Tony Reynolds, yes, it turns out Tony Reynolds and has a picture taken with him. So then I had a look at the MCM Comic-Con lineup that we just missed. Denise Crosby from Star Trek Next Generation was at it.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They had Guy Henry, who did the voice of, what's his name, Peter Cushing in the Star Wars film. Keith Allen was there, along with... who else was there? C-3PO. Who plays C-3PO?
Anthony Daniels.
He was there. Yeah. Andrew Lee Potts. Oh, yeah, sorry, he did come to our one. But he was there. So he's done both. I could essentially call him friend of the show, because he did do an interview. Oh, Dan Starkey played Strax in Doctor Who. Was there as well. So, David Bradley. Oh, one of the Doctors was there, along with most of the cast of Red Dwarf. That would be Robert Llewellyn, Chris Barry, Danny, John Jules.
Master?
I'm still talking. Please
yeah, well,
save
this
the
is
thought.
This is relative to what you're saying.
Yeah, it is. If you let me finish. Peter Davison, Sarah Sutton, Janet Fielding, Colin Baker were all there. And I feel rather hard done by. That they can all be bothered to turn up at Birmingham, but not to come and see us. So, bit hacked off with that situation. So, hopefully, if we do get one next year, and it is a bit up in the air because the Isle of Wight Comic-Con got ripped off by unscrupulous businesses, so that has put the event in jeopardy for next year. So, we just have to make sure if it does go on next year that unscrupulous businesses aren't involved in the proceedings.
I didn't hear about that.
Well, do you have now? I'm not mentioning any names, mainly because I don't know, but I know the fact that is why the event's in jeopardy. So we're hoping that things do turn around for it and we can look forward to an exciting event. It was a huge success.
I thought it was on the Isle of Wight, not Jeopardy.
Debbie, please go over and throttle him. Right, so that's the news. I had a bit of a rant there.
Can I state what I was trying to state earlier?
Yeah, of course you can, mate. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You wouldn't do that.
Lori Nix says Pearl canceled for Galley in Los Angeles also because of the play.
But she turns up at Birmingham to do a Comic-Con. Hey.
Also, Alan is trying to be perfectly logical about the evaporated milk. Telling why it's called evaporated milk. We know that. It's still a good joke.
It was a good joke.
Right, coming up to Christmas, everyone, so I would advise browsing through whowon.co.uk's vast array of potential gifts for Doctor Who fans, including the Doctor Who magazine 519 that I alluded to earlier that has David Bradley as the first Doctor on the cover. Five Doctors, an audiobook by Terence Dix. A Rhythm of Destruction, another audiobook by Darren Jones. It's a 12th Doctor story. Death Among the Stars, audiobook by Steve Lyons, another 12th Doctor story. And 100 Illustrated Adventures by various people is also a book in hardback, priced £20. And we have The New Adventures of Bernice Summerfield, Ruler of the Universe, Big Finish production on CD. I expect you can probably download it from Big Finish, but buy it from whowon.co.uk. So that's all the stuff that's coming soon. I know that's all the stuff that's on, coming soon, all available in pre-order. Outliners, Big Finish story. Morton Legacy, Big Finish story. Aliens and Mothers, so Torchwood, Big Finish story. Behemoth, which is a Big Finish story. Middle, Big Finish story. And Sharda, which is a DVD that we've been waiting for, which comes out in a couple of weeks' time. 10th Doctor in tuxedo figure, a 12th Doctor in hoodie figure, and 12th Doctor in hoogie and check trousers figure. Now, I bought one of those the other day while I was in Southampton, actually. And the figure actually does look like Peter Capaldi, unlike the previous versions of the Peter Capaldi Doctor.
Yeah, she said about that, yeah.
And therefore, I've swapped it over on my mantelpiece of my collection of umpteen Doctors. I'm going to say umpteen Doctors, because I've lost track how many there are up there now, but there's quite a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 Doctors. So Ben is right. So, yeah, that's whowon.co.uk. Lavazi.co.uk. If I have any control over certain things to go to the Comic-Con next year, if indeed it happens, I will be trying to get Lavazi to go. Well, that'd be good, wouldn't it, Deb?
That would be brilliant if they could
then
come.
You could come along to the Isle of Wight Comic-Con and buy the Fourth Doctor's incredibly long scarves. I say scarves because there's both versions. Series 18 one and all the others, and they're rather fab. I think what they should do is perhaps bring out the one a version of the scarf he wore, had the stitching on it and stuff like that, the patchwork on it and stuff like that would be quite good. Also the TARDIS scarf and hat, which I haven't got. I've got a jumper that would match it. The Fifth Doctor's sweater, the Seventh Doctor's cosplay items, including the hanky and the tie and the jumper, and of course the Doctor Who knitted tie, which is a sort of tie version of the incredibly long scarf as owned by Mr. Kirby Butler Sloan. You can also get some umbrellas, but this time of year, quite useful. In fact, all these scarves and stuff are particularly good this time of year because you can wear them because it's winter and it's really, really cold.
I've been wearing my lovely Doctor Who scarf this week, I must say.
Have you?
Yeah, the one you got me.
Shh. I think Deb's still up. Sorry. That's a sore point. Right. So next week, I will be in London on Saturday dragged, although I'm doing the driving, up to the O2 because Little Mix are doing a concert there. And we're taking Isabella. I'm hoping this is the last time that Isabella will find it the need to watch Little Mix while they're on tour, because it means I don't have to drive up to the O2 again to watch Little Mix. I don't mind Little Mix, but there's better things I could think to do with my time on Sunday. Well, you said that last time we alluded to me taking Isabella to watch Little Mix.
And I still haven't heard of it.
Well, you must have heard of it because you said that last time, so therefore you've heard of it. So that's what we're doing next Saturday. There's a chance that next Sunday I should still be able to record the show. However, that means I've got to try and definitely make sure I watch Robot between now and then. Yes, everybody, we're moving to the Tom Baker era. And it's nice to get it into the Tom Baker era before the end of the year. So that's what we're doing next time.
So Adam, when will you know if you can do next Sunday or not?
No, we'll say we'll do it.
Okay.
We'll do it.
Right, now I also December, I'm going to struggle for the whole of December because the first two Sundays the Harlequins are playing, then the 17th we've got our Carol Cons, and of course the 24th is Christmas Eve.
It's rather ironic that you're going to see the Harlequins because, of course, Isabella's favourite cosplay character is Harlequin.
Little Mix Harley actually Quinn. Played at the Harlequins in the summer.
Did they really?
Yeah,
never knew that.
So we're talking the 26th at 7 p.m. For Robot.
Ah, yes, indeed. So, all this week, we've got Dave Cooper's birthday on the 22nd. We've got my wife's birthday on the 24th. Little Mix concert on the 25th. And the episode 362 of the 20 Megabyte podcast on the 26th, followed by the Star Sky Engineer coming on.
Master!
What?
You missed one of the most important days of the year.
23rd.
The 23rd.
What happened on the 23rd, yeah. Kirby?
Good grief. He calls himself
Debbie,
a Doctor
Who fan. Debbie, open the back door. Give him a slap, can you, please? Also, next Sunday, Dawn and I are doing the prayers and intercessions at church as well, so that's something important.
Guaranteed way to wind up a Doctor Who fan is to do that. That works.
November the 23rd. Is it? Well, what happened on the.
Oh, yeah, Kennedy got assassinated, didn't he? Right then,
no,
and the
27th.
No, that was the day before.
That's
oh, Dave Cooper's birthday. Yeah, on the 27th of November, the Sky Engineer's coming round to do to fit our Sky Q boxes. 28th is Ryan Jenkins' birthday. Then 29th is nothing. The 30th is St Andrew's Day in Scotland. And then we're into December and we can start unwrapping our advent calendars.
Also, 26th of November is my father-in-law's birthday as well. Okay. He'll be 72.
Well, happy birthday to everybody who's got a birthday during the next few days. Before we close the show up, I'm just going to check the Facebook feed. One viewer left. They're all dying like whatevers. We've got... Alan T. Butcher says it's because it is most of the water has been evaporated from milk and then the remaining solids are put in the tin. And Laurenick says Pearl cancelled for Galley, one con in Los Angeles, also because of a play. I know you've already said that, but it's my job to read these out. And then Laurenick does a little laughy sort of emoji thing because I think she's alluding to the fact that I'm quite funny. So get your robot DVDs out. And start watching and come back and give us some feedback about it next week. Tell us what you think of Tom Baker. Is he going to be any good?
Seems pretty good.
So until next week, goodbye.
Bye all.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Doctor Who Podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.